I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 17b. What makes Christianity different from all other religions? You know, that's a question that all of us as Christians should be able to answer to a non-believer. You know, in our own words, not just quoting a verse, you know, knowing the verses is great, but just being able to explain the concept to somebody. And that's what we're going to do here today. But first, let's review something here. Mystery Babylon, that's the series that we are studying, starting here in the Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and will be part of 19 as well. But Mystery Babylon, as we're going to discover, is a corrupt religious and economic system flowing forth from one city under the direction of one family, whose aim is to deceive the entire world. And some common interpretations of Mystery Babylon have been that Mystery Babylon represents Rome or the Roman Catholic Church. And I disagree with that one. And you'll see why as we get through these studies. Because the Roman Catholic Church isn't the fountainhead of all false religion on the earth. Sure, they may be influenced by Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon may, you know, has worked in her false doctrine into that church, as well as even many Protestant churches as well. So we can't put it all on the Roman Catholic Church. Jerusalem. That's one that I used to lean more towards. Prior to doing some fresh research again on this topic, is that in the end times, Jerusalem is the great city Babylon. But there are some issues with that. One issue is that when you read Revelation chapter 11, Jerusalem is already spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. So it seems that in the last days, there are two cities that play a very important role in the last days. And not just one city, not just Jerusalem, but Jerusalem and whatever this mystery Babylon is. The other interpretation, common interpretation, is that mystery Babylon represents New York City. Or that it will be ancient Babylon rebuilt again for the last days. Now, during this series of studies, we're going to focus primarily on these last two, though we will touch on these other ones here. But as of now, I'm leaning more towards Mystery Babylon being either New York City itself or ancient Babylon being rebuilt. And I'm leaning more towards it being New York City itself right now, but we'll see how that bears out as we begin uncovering the truths behind Mystery Babylon. All right. Ancient Babylon of old was the source or the fountainhead of all pagan mystery religions, all idolatry, all forms of false worship. It started in Babylon. You know, most people believe it started with Nimrod. I believe it was in Genesis chapter 10. Who had the Tower of Babel built. But what we're going to do that's uniquely different in this series of studies is, or at least in parts of our studies that we may do on this, we're going to take it even farther back than that, originating with Cain himself and his descendants building this city and carrying this system forth in the world throughout every generation to deceive the souls of mankind. But I'm not going to get into all that today. I just wanted to bring that up. That's one thing that's going to make this series of studies different probably than most you've ever heard about Mystery Babylon, because most do not go prior to Nimrod. And we know there was idolatry in the world. There was false religion in the world before Nimrod had the Tower of Babel built. Anyways, moving on. Let's just start by reading some verses, and then we're gonna compare Mystery Babylon versus Christianity, or the world's religions versus Christianity. And we're gonna find one unique difference between Christianity and the religions of the world. And it begins, 17 verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." The great whore being Mystery Babylon. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So it is because of what the elite are doing, or the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth. It is because of this adulterous relationship between them and her that the inhabitants of the earth pay a heavy price. We've been, besides Christians within him, but the world's been made drunk by this relationship, meaning they're affected by it. They're affected by it. You ever wonder why it seems even today in America that we don't really get the candidates that we want much of the time? Much of the time, the way the media sets everything forth, the way the political parties have everything set up, they most often tend to groom the candidates that are in bed with Mystery Babylon, that are committing fornication or idolatry with her. And again, that'll be explained more in detail as we get through this series. Verse 3, "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Now, we know of this beast from Revelation 13. This is the Antichrist himself and his kingdom, made up of seven dominions and 10 kings, or 10 powers. "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Now think about what might be in this cup. Think about what witchcraft, because Mystery Babylon, she's the greatest witch of them all, the greatest sorcerer, the greatest, you know, and most wicked woman. Obviously, she's a symbol here of them all. So think of the ceremonies that are done in paganism and in witchcraft and all that type of stuff that a lot of times we don't even see. That's hidden behind closed doors. So let's think of what kind of sacrifices they make. What kind of disgusting sexual orgies they are involved with. And the reason I say that is because whatever all these things she does, in the physical sense, you can think of it as what's inside her libation cup. It's pretty gruesome. I mean, again, when you look at what sorcerers and people in witchcraft and things like that, you look at the things they put in their cups, libation cups for sacrifices and things like that. I can think of one that really kind of goes on today. I have no doubt probably some of the, a portion of the aborted babies that we've found out about Planned Parenthood that are supposedly going towards research. I have no doubt that some of that's funneled to witchcraft and sorcery. I think we would be surprised at what's done behind closed doors. Think about what's out in the open today. The abominations that we see out in the open on our television sets. The homosexual parades marching down our streets, flaunting their abominations. You think about what they do in the open. What do you think they're doing in the dark? What do you think the kings of the earth and the rulers of this world are doing in secret? Think about that. All right. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Now, this is one major argument why this may not be Babylon of old. And if you look at it today, it's not yet, obviously. If it was to be rebuilt, it's definitely the only city that fits this description where all the kings get together and commit fornication with her, unite together, is in New York City. It's where the United Nations is. And it's where all of the world business leaders do their major transactions on Wall Street. You see, right next to each other, all coming forth from that same city. But we're going to take this on a different angle here right now. But anyways, what I was going to say, and I can't remember if I just said it, the argument is that she is called a mystery. And because of that, it likely means that it's not literal Babylon, but a spiritual Babylon centered somewhere else, other than the land of Shinar, or ancient Babylonia, Iraq of today. But we're going to focus on, you know, she's the mother of harlots. Everything that's an abomination on the earth, every idolatrous worship, every form of paganism, every false religion comes from her. They didn't just stem off on their own. And when I say her, I mean the symbol. It's not a literal woman, but a symbol. All right. The basis of all false religions is human pride. And we read about that in 1 John 2:16 last week. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that really sums up the fruits of Mystery Babylon. Though you wouldn't want to leave it at that because there's a lot to know about it, but you could sum it up with that one verse. But the question we need to define to the world today and for ourselves because of what's coming upon the world is, what is Christianity? I mean, many of you have been, you were born and raised Christian and you just, you know, you're a Christian because that's what you were told. But can you explain what Christianity is to someone who has no clue why you're a Christian? Now, these questions are going to be important in the days coming up. And here is my best attempt at making a very brief description of what Christianity is. The foundational truth of Christianity is that, and this is, I may add, I put this challenge out, or I asked these questions on my Facebook page, and I got a lot of good answers from people. You know, but one part that I didn't really get was, and kind of the angle I was looking for was how do we describe this to someone who knows nothing about Christianity and doesn't even understand its purpose? In other words, how do you explain this to a pagan? A lot of the answers, again, were accurate. Some were real brief. But many of them lacked a description that would be focused more towards someone who knows nothing about Christianity. And here it is. The foundational truth of Christianity is that all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, verse 23, and are in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is that Savior who died on the cross 2,000 years ago to pay the price for our sins, so that upon repentance and a desire to have a clean heart. Now that is this is right here. I'll go back to this in a second. And a desire to have a clean heart, one can resume fellowship with God and not fear the judgments we so deserve. That's what Christianity is in a nutshell. But here's what it's focused on here. Christianity is a religion of the heart. Obviously of knowledge as well, but it stems from wanting and desiring a clean heart. A heart that has the laws of God impressed upon it. In fact, we've done studies in the past. We did a study in the past. It was titled, What Was the New Covenant, I believe. And it's all about God's laws being written in our heart. You know, an outward... What was unique in Matthew chapter 5, Christ was clarifying that he didn't come to change one jot or tittle of the law. He didn't come to soften the law. In fact, he amplified moral law as not simply the fulfillment of outward obedience to the law. For instance, he said... you are a murderer if you hate your brother in your heart. Meaning in the Old Testament, hey, you didn't really commit murder. You weren't a lawbreaker unless you actually committed the crime. But Christ said, no, God's law it goes deeper than that. If you even have the thought of hate towards your brother, without a cause, you're guilty of murder. Think about that for a minute. And he said, even if you looked upon another woman with lust and desire in your heart, you're an adulterer, even if you didn't commit the act. That's why Christianity is a religion of having a clean heart, a desire to be holy. I'm not talking about, you know, some big holy religious guy. I'm talking about an inward holiness. A desire to be like Christ, in other words. To be Christ-like. All right. And, okay, so what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who sets aside personal pride, humbly acknowledges their sins, believes that the blood of Jesus is worthy to atone for their sins, desires to have their heart purged of uncleanliness, and seeks to do, I'm going to stress that word, to do the will of God in every aspect of their lives. That's what I believe. I mean, and this is all scripturally based, if we wanted to go to all the scriptures. This, in a nutshell, is what a Christian is. A Christian cannot have personal pride in themselves for who they are or for their own works. and they must desire to have their heart purged of uncleanliness. I believe it's Psalms chapter 51. Read that psalm. It really is the definition of what a Christian is. Psalms 51, and it's beautiful. And it was after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And if you look at what he knew, his heart was filthy. And he wanted to be cleansed of that filthiness, and he wanted a new heart. He wanted new desires to replace the old desires, the old man. All right. So here's the question we need to ask ourselves, and we need to be able to answer this. What makes Christianity different from all the other religions of the world? And why this fits in with Mystery Babylon is because Mystery Babylon represents all false religion. So we need to know what the opposite of that is. And so that we don't become a part of Mystery Babylon. Because, hey, you can say you're a Christian today and still be a part of Mystery Babylon if your focus is on beliefs that are a part of what she espouses. And here is what I came up with here. Humbleness versus human pride is the great difference between Christianity and the religions of the world. All false religions teach that man can achieve his own salvation by a multitude of good works, sacrifice, or through an elaborate system of rituals pleasing to their god/gods. Examples of that are meditation, prayer, yoga, etc. Do you know yoga is Hinduism? It's practiced in Hinduism and Buddhism. So when you're sitting down there stretching, thinking that, oh, this is great, I'm doing yoga, you're practicing Eastern religion. When you're doing those ohms, and you're doing it for your spiritual health. It's pretty crafty the serpent is, isn't he? Anyways, it's done that way oftentimes. Most do not even believe man. And this can be done in Christian churches as well. Christians can put themselves, they can make Christianity into an elaborate system of rituals, thinking they're pleasing God. They can even make Christianity merely an observation of the laws of God without having a clean heart. Just an outward, the appearance of outward obedience. That fits into this as well, my friends. Most do not even believe man is in need of a savior, but is rather on a constant course of evolution towards perfection and godhood. You can find that we're going to look at that in a second. I won't go there. What makes Christianity uniquely different is it teaches that only through the grace of a loving God and the sacrifice of his only begotten Son can man be saved. There is nothing we can do on our own that makes us righteous before God. That is the big difference. Humbleness versus human pride. You know, think about what we're coming off of here. We're in this world primarily and being tested because of the pride of one archangel, one cherub that used to cover, used to protect, used to be a protector in the kingdom of God. And that was Lucifer. His pride swelled within him, causing him to rebel against God. I mean, so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that human pride, that we can do things on our own without God, that type of teaching, or that through the multitudes of our own, coming from our own self, can make us righteous, is wrong. It shouldn't surprise us. That is the foundation of all false religion, human pride. And like it's like we said here, some even go, or most of the false religions even go as far as they don't need a savior. They're just going to evolve over time to perfection. No other religion is like Christianity in that respect. And I know a lot of people don't like to call Christianity a religion because it is the truth. It is what it is. It is the way. But for the sake of just calling it a religion, I'm calling it a religion, all right? Here, Dr. Bollinger explained this very well when he said that, this was from the Companion Bible. If you have a Companion Bible, I believe it's chapter 17 in the side column. When explaining who Mystery Babylon is, he says, Babylon is the fountainhead of all idolatry and systems of false worship. This is the mystery of iniquity that Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, seen in all the great religions of the world. All alike substitute another God for the God of the Bible, a God made either with the hands or with the imagination, but equally made, a religion consisting of human merit and endeavor. The reunion of churches of Christendom and the League of Nations are two of the most arresting signs of the times. Okay, that was quite a while ago that he was mentioning this. But there he has it. He says it pretty much how we were saying it. It's idolatry. All false religions are religions made with men's hands or based on their own merit or just with their own imagination. But it's all idolatry and it all comes from Mystery Babylon. All right, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And I'm going to go back here because really this is the, and these few short verses that Satan spoke back here in Genesis, these give us really the foundation of all false religion that we're talking about. And it reads, "And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die." And I may add that all of the pagan mystery religions, they all go back to the worship of the serpent and the sun. That's the mystery behind them all. Anyways, this is what he says here. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof," he's talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil, "your eyes shall be opened," and check this out, "and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." What is that there? That's human merit. That's relying on your own wisdom, if you partake of this tree, to evolve into a god yourself. Not needing God's moral code, his laws, or his salvation. But right here, this verse, "and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil," is the foundation of all false religion on the earth. It's the foundation of Mystery Babylon. It is the foundation of the religion of the Antichrist in the future. And it's the lie of the devil. And verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes," remember, the lusts of the flesh, the pride of life, being the foundation of all false religion, the foundation of Mystery Babylon, here it is. She, from outward appearance, it seemed good. and a tree desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What is this? I mean, this is, Eve was seduced by Satan's lie because it was pleasing to her senses, her physical senses, her lusts, and her pride. She wanted that wisdom. She wanted to evolve as a god. These verses right here sum up what Mystery Babylon is. It's the worship of the serpent through the worship of yourself. Think about that. It all goes back to the beginning, to Genesis. Everything we see today out in the world, even in America today, is hey, we can build this own system. We can have a great economy. We can have a great nation without God, as long as we all band together and have tolerance and diversity and all these types of things. That's Babylon, my friends. That is the teaching of Babylon, that man can find his own salvation. And Christianity rejects that. Our forefathers who came to this nation to build it, built it as a Christian nation. They came here with the desire to spread the gospel of the kingdom. That man needed a savior. And that we wanted to be a light and an example unto the world to show forth those truths. But it's been hijacked. And that hijacking is explained in Deuteronomy 28 as of the curses that would come upon our people if we rejected God's word, his instructions, his laws, his son, Jesus Christ. And if we sought our own way. So what's happened to America is we've been hijacked. We've been converted from a Christian nation into, I believe, Babylon of the end times. Now, let me say that again. America, there are the greatest Christians in America. That almost sounds prideful. There are many great Christians in America. In fact, America probably has more biblically literate Christians than any other country around the world. But at the same time, we also produce and promote the principles or the teachings of Mystery Babylon more so than any other nation on this earth right now. And that, of course, is at the leading of the serpent seed embedded within our nation. But nevertheless, we look at Hollywood. Hollywood exports the filthiness and fornication of Mystery Babylon throughout the world. In fact, I believe most countries around the world, most of their movies are actually made from Hollywood, simply translated into their own language with voiceovers. Our fashion and other types of immorality are exported around the world. So has America become Babylon? I mean, look at what's happened. Our White House displayed the rainbow flag in celebration of deviant sexual behavior. in celebration of the LGBTs. We've been besieged, my friend. We've been converted from a Christian nation into a pagan nation, into a nation that fits the description of Mystery Babylon of the end times. We are a great nation, a powerful nation. That is full of pride. Later on, we're going to read about Mystery Babylon. Says she says in her heart that she sits a queen and she's not a widow. Meaning, you think about how many people today say that America will never be destroyed no matter what we do. We can just do this on our own. All we need is diversity, multicultural, and multiculturalness. And so on. All those things that we can just do it by ourselves. Have we not become full of pride? Has the enemy not built his systems, his Babylonian systems, into our nation to export or to project it around the world? You think about what many of our presidents have done throughout history. Our goal is to liberate nations before. We wanted to spread world democracy. George Bush Sr. said that what's at stake here is a new world order. But he said nothing about Christianity. He said nothing about the gospel of the kingdom. What he was referring to was a new world order based off of democracy. Now let me ask you this. What is democracy? It is democracy without Christianity is Babylon. It's Babylon. It's worldwide Babylon. It is the teaching of Mystery Babylon. That man can join together and build that Tower of Babel, unite with all nations of the world to achieve their own happiness, to build their own civilization. It's a hard pill to swallow. I know. I was in the army, was deployed to Iraq and served over there. So I'm not bashing our country. I'm not bashing the people. I'm bashing the systems that have taken over our country. The Babylonian systems that have converted us, that have changed us, in the words of President Obama, that have changed us into something that we were not before. Because primarily of the church's lack of discipline, lack of knowledge, lack of teaching. Primarily, the fault of us going over to Mystery Babylon is that pastors have not taught their congregations the Word of God. But have rather been as hirelings that care nothing for the flock. They do it for personal gain. My friends, it's time that in these days, we Christians understand who we are, why we are who we are, and reject human pride. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, understand that they're an Israelite today, and that's all they focus on. I'm one of the 10 lost tribes. So I do believe that America was made up of descendants of the 10 lost tribes. I agree with that. I think it's very important. But as Paul said, the election hath obtained that which Israel has not obtained. Meaning it doesn't matter if you're an Israelite and you're a non-believer or if you're an Israelite and you're a Christian and you think you put yourself up on this high pedestal and you have pride, that doesn't make you a Christian, my friend. Anyways, hey, I'm not going to stop going off on a tangent here, but what makes Christianity different from all other religions of the world is that Christianity rejects human pride and rejects this notion that we can find our own way to happiness without the blood of Jesus Christ and without the grace of God. Anyways, we got a lot of topics to cover in this study of Mystery Babylon. You know, I just said earlier we were going to go a little faster through Revelation. Well, we're not going to spend as many studies on Mystery Babylon as we did counting the number of the beast 666. But we are going to do a little mini-series on this because Mystery Babylon is one of the great mysteries of the entire Bible. You know, understanding the beast is another mystery. So these things are things that we don't want to gloss over. We want to make sure we understand them because they tie everything else together with it. And it's given to us as a warning to stay away from her. In fact, later on, God's going to say, "Come out of Babylon, my people, and be not partakers of her sins." We're even going to talk about pornography and how poisonous that is to our society, and not only to our society, but to married couples. Pornography is part of Mystery Babylon, and it's designed to destroy your relationship with your family and with your God. Anyways, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So see that you study it. See that you consume it. Digest it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah.